This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
I was at the Sun Bowl. I work with Arizona State football. At halftime, it's interesting because I think the game was 20-17 or something at halftime. So it's a three-point game. And I'll tell you, if you watch both teams just walk off the bus, you're going to, if you had to bet a dollar, you'd be betting on ASU because they were just bigger and they were just better looking and they looked faster, they looked stronger. But at halftime, it was 20-17 and man, it just seemed like it was a dogfight, and which is kind of what you want a bowl game to be. But it's interesting, the stats came out, okay? And I'm going to get to you here in a second, all right? So this is just going to kind of set the stage. But the stats came out, and they realized, and the coach gets up, he said, look, they had seven first downs in the first half. Now listen, you hold a team to seven first downs, and whoever your favorite team is, the next game they play, you count the number of first downs in the first half by the opposing team, and if they hold them to seven, you're happy, all right? So it was like 67 yards rushing, and I don't know, just not much passing, but it was just, they gave up a punt return for a touchdown, but it was seven first downs, and what was amazing about that is that it was 20-17. You know, the coaches said, we should be boat racing these guys. We're playing them well. Our strategies work. Our game plan is effective, except there's an adjustment we need to make. And this is where it starts kind of gliding into your area, okay? That we have a plan for our lives, and man, we're working that plan. But as things happen, we have to adjust those plans. See, that our plans aren't, there's things about my plan for life that are absolutes. And they're etched in granite. Yet there's things in my plan for life I've got to adjust. Man, I've got to make sure that I'm flexible and adaptable. Our staff's going to go through evaluations this week. And there's 10 simple things they're going to be evaluated on. Man, a couple of the big ones are their flexibility and their adaptability, their communication, those kind of things. Because, man, we're working with people. We're in the helping people get better business. We're in the helping people win. Okay, that's what we're about. And what's interesting is that we need to adapt the plan. And I'll tell you what was interesting about Duke when they were playing ASU yesterday. Man, they were just throwing some screens. And it wasn't the normal screen pass for you guys that the quarterback drops back the pass and man, the offensive lineman might influence the defensive lineman a little bit, but they'll let the defensive lineman beat him a little bit. And they'll get past them, and as the defensive linemen are putting pressure on the quarterback, he'll just kind of dump it to the running back, and the offensive linemen who've let the defensive linemen go, man, those offensive linemen, yeah, that's okay, I can talk through that. And the defensive linemen, man, they're coming in, and the offensive linemen are going and finding linebackers and defensive backs to go take out. And that running back's just going, and let me tell you, but the interesting thing about it is that that quarterback wasn't dropping back and letting him go. That quarterback was running toward the line of scrimmage. So the defensive back, man, you're thinking, oh my gosh, with the defense going to make a big play, and then he'd just kind of dump it to the running back, and he'd take off. Man, so the coaches had to get in there and say, look, here, we just have to make this simple adjustment, and we'll be able to stop this. Well, that's what we're going to do here today. It's 2014. It's the last Sunday of the year. We get 52 of them a year, and let me tell you, I love Sundays, and we hold them precious around here. You know why? We get to fill the room with people and talk about Jesus. Man, you guys in on that? Man, that's what it's about. You think, man, what's the church about? Let's fill the room with people and talk about Jesus. Man, let's make sure that Jesus is held to the honor that I believe God's called us to hold him to. But so there has to be some adjustments that we make in our lives. And I think those adjustments have to be in what we put our value in or on, or what we truly value in our lives. Because there's things that for me, and I've been doing this a while now, and I've got some experience, but you know what? Man, things change, and I have to adapt how I lead this to how things have changed. And you know what? I'm not talking about the absolutes, and we're going to preach Jesus. Man, we're going to trust God's promise. Those are absolutes, but there's things that we have to adjust. You know, we started the church 22 years ago. Man, there were people that came in, most of which had no idea about church and no idea about the things of God. But there were a few people that came in and had some idea about church. But you know what? They still weren't seasoned church leaders. And through the years, that's what's happened. Man, people have gained that seasoning. So on one hand, we've got these 9 or 10 out of 10 church leaders that are filling the room. And then we've got people that have just kind of walked in saying, "Oh shucks, I hope this can work in my life. Man, I just wanna, what's this about?" You know, it's interesting. In August, I did a team meeting at Arizona State, and 60 players and coaches answered the altar call. I was shocked. I mean, and there was no altar. It was like they were just cramped. They're climbing all over each other to get up there when I gave the invitation. But and the thing about it is, here's the kind of questions I got after. Can I talk to you for a minute? I said, sure. And I'm expecting, you know, I'm Pastor Bill. I'm expecting to, man, we're going to take care of some stuff here. We're going to decimate some mountains in these guys' lives. And you know what? The first guy came up to me and said, "Man, I had a girlfriend I'm in love with for 3 years, and she just dumped me." I said, "Oh, really? Yeah, what else? What do you got?" He goes, "Well, she said she wanted to live a holy life and with holy people." And he said, how can I be holy?" I said, "Really? Okay." And I talked to him for a minute. I'm like, "Okay, give me 3 or 4 months. We'll break this down and we'll sit and talk." And I ministered to him and I helped him. But then another guy came up to me. He's a freshman from Oakland. Okay, and this kid comes in, and let me tell you, he's like a 4 or 5-star recruit. He comes in, and he's a freshman. He's just a kid. He comes up to me, and he said, "You know, we go to church on Easter, and I know it's a religious day, and I know it's a holiday, but can you just explain to me, what is Easter?" He said, "I've never really thought about it till now." I said, "Well, what do you mean? It's the resurrection." He said, "I know. What do you mean resurrection?" Like he had no idea. It was like a foreign concept. See, so you got this extreme, and then you got this extreme where you got people in here. There's 200 or 300 people in here that could do this better than I'm doing it right now. Man, then I'd say, "Oh, I wish they'd come and say, 'Hey, here's a point to your message.'" I'm like, "Man, I wish I'd have known that before the message. I mean, it was a great point." But so the range. So you know what I have to do? I have to adjust. And what's amazing is we got so many people that have come in and for years have been growing. And that's what this service is gonna be about. Let me just tell you, the end game of this message is to get people to grow. It's growth. Man, there's some of you guys in this room here. Man, we said, "Man, come on down here to the front. Let's just sing and let's just work." And you'll say, "Well, is there something special about being down here?" No, it's special about you making a decision in your heart to walk down there is what's special. But you know what? There's so many people that, man, you go, "Nah, I'm not going to do that." Where 10 or 15 years ago, you'd have been, it'd be like roller derby. You're elbowing people and you're looking to draft off of people, somebody to sling you up there. But things happen and change in our lives, and we have to adjust to those things too. It's not just new people. It's not just people that have no idea. And that's what I want to talk to you about, that just the adjustments, where we put our values. You know, if you look at where you spend your money, you know, it's you're going to find out what you value. You know, it's amazing because Sandy's very good with our books and balancing our checkbook and budgeting our money, and she's just amazing. And I let her be amazing because I don't think I'd be very good. And you know, where our business department here in the church is just impeccable. It amazes me how the reports we get from the audits that we do and other things. And it's just like my home life. It's like it's in order because Sandy can budget. But you know, the interesting thing is you find out where we spend our money. You find out where we put our money. And I'll just tell you, a boatload of our money goes right here. A big, big, big portion of our money goes to our children. Why? Because that's what we truly value in our life, value the church. Man, I don't want to be in the top 50% or top 10% of givers in the church. I'm way too competitive for that. Man, I'm in the top few and we're trying to figure out how we can get in the top. Why? Because that's our value, plus we're a little competitive. But then you look at things, and there's things that we have to have or we have to get. We put value in it. And you know what? It has no meaning. It doesn't have any. It doesn't do anything toward the purpose of our lives. And so, you know what? At the end of the day, it's been negative to the equation. And going into the new year, and that's what's strategic about this. I love these kind of services. I love these kind of times. These kind of times, it's where that the demand that's put on the ministry gifting that's in me, you know, there are times when, man, the demand that's put on the ministry gifting, man, there's a demand on the leadership gifting, but the ministry, but this is a leadership gifting that we're getting today. That's a demand. It's the end of the year. We're going into a new year. Next Sunday is going to be a service where I'm telling you, it's going to be a prophetic word for everybody that's here. Man, it's going to be a prophetic word for 2015, because that's just how God works. I'm telling you ahead of time, I'm excited about it. Parts of it are going to leak out today because I'm excited about what God's doing here. But see, today we're finishing up 2014. This is 52 of 52 right here. Man, we're finishing the year. We're finishing it strong. Man, every Sunday here mattered. Every Sunday here was pertinent. Man, every Sunday here kind of moved the chains, moved the ball down the field a little bit. Man, some of them we scored. But you know what? It's time for us, just like ASU let Duke hang around yesterday. You know what? Duke took the lead with 2 or 3 minutes left in the game. But then you know what? They made the mistake of kicking off to a freshman, a kid who turned 18 2 weeks before that game. And you know what? He took that kickoff 96 yards down to the 4-yard line. And the next play, ASU scored to go back ahead to the winning touchdown. See, that's what's going to happen. Just a few adjustments that we make, that we can put ourselves in a position to win. And you know what? Man, get the enemy behind us and make sure we're running as one who wins in this life. Going into the new year, what do you value? What do you really put your value on? I think it's an important question. Is it making more money? Is it getting new friends? Are you valuing God's house? Are you valuing the tithe? Are you valuing offerings? Or the life you live and the gospel you stand for are going to determine your values. They're going to determine your legacy. They're going to determine your destiny. Man, they're going to determine the path that you're on immediately, and they're going to determine, man, the path that you cut that's going to outlive you on this earth. See, that's what we have to understand. Man, I'm telling you, we're not just building this for here and now. Man, I'm telling you, there are generations that are coming up behind us that are, I'm telling you, are so equipped. Man, the tool set that they're bringing to the equation is shocking. And see, that's what we have to understand, and that's what we have here. You know, what sets you apart from worldly people and how they live, how they think, how they talk? Man, I'm not going to talk like the world. I'm not here to as a businessman or a politician or a coach. I'm here as a pastor. I'm here as a shepherd. Man, we're going to green pastures and fresh water, and you're going to find shelter. I'm telling you, man, God's called you to win. And that's the bottom line with this. Man, the bottom line, I'm telling you, that's my end game, that you're growing, that you're winning in life, that you're winning more today than you've ever won before in your life. But your values are gonna set you apart. And that's a big key. And you know what? Oftentimes those values are gonna be attacked. And it's not for the weak of heart. We can't be cowardly and put our values in the things of God. Because I'm telling you, I don't know if you knew this or not, there's haters out there. I remember I first gave it, and it's just nothing new. Man, I gave my life to the Lord 35 years ago. There's a guy that came up to me at a party, and I'd been a Christian a couple weeks, man. I was like probably 60, 65% Christian and 30, 35% heathen. You know, I was kind of moving out of it, but I still had some little bit of rangy in me, you know. I don't know if any of you guys relate. How many of you guys have still got a little bit of rangy left in you? You're not polished like me. I'm not rough around the edges anymore. I'm like the example, okay? I'm the gold standard for Christianity now. I don't have any issues, okay? I don't have any rough edges. Right, Big Bob? I mean, I'm right there. Just do what I do, say what I say, and take your lumps. Okay, but I still had a little rangy left in me, if that makes sense. I don't know if that makes sense. I've said it twice now like it does, and no one's thrown anything at me yet. But so this guy comes up to me that bugged me. I don't know if you guys have got any guys that bug you. I treat people that bug me differently than I used to treat them, okay? But he caught me on a good day. I don't know, bad day. But we're at a party, and I'm there, and, you know, I'm like that guy. I'm not drinking. I'm a Christian now, and I just don't want to. It's like, you guys, it's kind of sickening. You guys are puny. That's how I'm feeling. You know, I'm really full of judgment on them right at this point. And so I'm a brand new Christian. And I'm standing, this guy comes up and goes, "Hey, Shear, heard you're a Christian." I said, "Yeah, I am." And I understand this guy bugs me. Never liked him. He comes up to me, he goes, heard you're a Christian. I say, yeah, I am. Oh, what, you make Jesus? You're a Jesus guy now? I say, yeah, I'm a Jesus guy now. He goes, oh, you're not partying anymore? I said, none of your business. What I'm doing or not doing, never has been. He said, you're a Christian now? You think you're better than me? I said, well, A, I've always thought I was better than you. But B, because you're a skunk and Jesus is living in me, that makes me a lot better than you, man. But see, but it's not. Now listen, I've grown since then. It's about growth. But we have to understand now that it's about us growing. And that's the end game. That's what I want 2015 to be in all of our lives. You know why? I really sense this with all of my heart, that 2015 is going to be a year of big moves. I mean big moves. And you know what? And that could be, that one example is that you're going to lay hands on somebody and they're going to recover. Somebody that, man, had no hope. And, man, what are we going to do? I just got to get my hands on them. You know why? These signs will follow those who believe. We lay hands on the sick and they recover. Man, I just got to get my hands on them. That's all I got to do. Because it's really pretty simple for me. Man, it really is. It's a pretty easy scenario for me. But your values, your attitudes are going to reflect your values. And, you know, for me, if I get a bad attitude, I can always trace it back to selfishness. It's always because I'm selfish about something. Somebody said something, somebody did something, didn't do something. It's how it affected me. It's all about me. I'm telling you, if I put myself in a position where I'm third all the time, God's first, people are second, I'm third, you know, no matter if people bug me or not, I'm third, then you know what? Those attitudes aren't gonna be a hindrance to what God wants to do in my life. Your values are gonna affect your convictions. And this is a big deal for me. And I've got people in my life. Scott Houston, an elder here in the church, has strong convictions. It's because of the things he values in his life. And man, I appreciate that. I mean, sometimes it gets in the way. But let me tell you, I'm attracted to that. And see, that's what we all have to. Man, Jeff Atkinson has strong convictions. He's a man of high, strong convictions. Well, you know what? It's reflected in what he values in life. And man, you think about it. I've never met a bigger servant in my life than Jeff. I mean, no maintenance and just, man, I'm gonna do more than my share every time I show up, and I'm gonna show up every time. Man, you should write that down, okay? Man, show up every time and do more than your share every time you show up. That's a good life. All right? I just came up with that. It just hit me. I think we need a banner on the side of the wall. Man, show up every time and do more than's expected of you when you do show up. Your values are going to affect your convictions. Your values are going to propel your call. And that's where we're going to get today. You know, it's interesting because Mary Magdalene, Jesus went to Lazarus' house. And here's Mary and Martha there. But as Jesus was there with Lazarus, who was raised from the dead, Mary starts washing his feet with this very expensive oil. It was perfumed oil. And really the cost of it, if you're related to today's economy, is upwards to $100,000, this oil that she's pouring on Jesus' feet, okay? And you'll think, well, that's awkward. Here he is hanging out with Lazarus, who'd been raised from the dead, and Lazarus' sister comes over and starts pouring oil, this perfumed oil, on his, and it gets so much more awkward than that. She starts washing his feet with her hair, and I'm like, okay, I'm not going to teach it. We're just going to try to deal with that, the weirdness of that right now, but she's washing his feet with her hair, and here's where it goes. That Judas Iscariot's there, and one of the gospels says Judas the thief was there. He's one of the 12. Judas the thief was there and said, oh, look at her. Oh, look at her. She has no appreciation. She, look at where her priority, man, she should have taken that oil and sold it and helped the poor with it. Let me tell you about Judas. Judas is referred to in this passage as Judas the thief. He didn't care about the poor. He is a thief. See what I mean about Jeff? He's popped up. God translated him from wherever he was to right here. Okay, but listen. But the point is the Bible says that the whole place where they were filled with the aroma of that oil. and just honored Jesus. And you know what? It's referred to as a memorial offering to Jesus because of what was gonna, he was going to give his life. See, we think about that, and then I look at 2 Peter, the first chapter, and when I think about growth in your faith and growth in your trust, the fifth verse says, but also for this reason, giving all diligence. See, I don't think we put as high a priority on this as we should. Giving all diligence. In the Amplified, it says, giving all the diligence to the divine promises. Adding your diligence to the divine promises. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness. Remember that kicker from ASU? How can I be godly? How can I be holy? Man, I'll tell you how you can be holy. Man, add diligence and then add your trust in God virtue. And virtue knowledge, knowledge self-control, self-control perseverance, and perseverance godliness, man. Holiness to godless brotherly, kindness to brotherly, kindness love. For if these things are yours, if you make them personal, doggone it, listen right now. This is gonna change your life. It's gonna change your perception, your outlook. Man, if you make this yours and abound, do you see that? Man, if you make it yours and you abound, I'm telling you, you max out on this thing. Man, it's time now that whatever it is, that however I'm living my life, I'm just telling you, the days of me holding back are over. And you'll think, well, Shear, I don't see you holding back. I don't care what you see. I'm telling you the convictions that are in my heart right now, what God's doing in my life right now. There was only one other time in the ministry walk of my life and God visited me, and that's what's happening right now. I mean, I'm assessing and evaluating. And you know what? Adjusting my values. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren, you'll be neither idle, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his old sins, that you're blind, that the old nature of sin that prohibited you from living in God's provision and God's promises. Man, do you understand you've been delivered of those hindrances now? It's all, I'm just telling you, everything that you have need of in your heart, every issue, every deficit, I'm telling you right now, where you are is within arm's reach. You can grab it. You can get it. Man, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He is at your side. But you know what we have to do is we have to giving all diligence. Verse 10, therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. Listen, even be more diligent. Remember the diligent examples, man, virtue and loving kindness and godliness. He said, even more so to make your call and election sure. And you know what? It's not for people to see. See, I'm telling you, this is where I am right now. That 3 or 4 seconds that it took to communicate that is propelling. I mean, man, it's in my heart. Man, the engine, I'm just telling you, it's in the left lane of my heart. And I'm telling you, that throttle's been thrown back. Listen, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. See, here's the deal. Never stumble is talking about your maturity. Man, when you're a baby and you stand up in your crib, I'm telling you, it's monumental. Bubba stood up in his crib. Man, the next thing you know that, man, you're crawling around. It's like, oh my gosh, he is so far advanced. And then that day, man, where the Olympic hopefulness of your life emerges and you stand on your own. And you're standing there like this. You're like, oh dear God, the next Jesse Owens. Because what are you about to do? You're about to take a step. You take that step, what happens? You fall, you stumble. But you know what? That's where you are in life. And you know what? But now, every step you take, you're making that call and election sure. Man, you take a few more steps, and you know what's gonna happen? You're gonna stumble. And you're gonna get back up, and man, you're gonna stumble. And then you might get to a point where it's like you're sitting on the ground and you're looking up at your daddy or your mom and you're saying, carry me, carry me. No, get up. You gotta. And you know what? You don't want to pick that baby up every time. You want that toddler. You know what toddlers do? They toddle. The sheer definition of toddling is you're going to fall. And you bounce a little better than I probably would now, but as the age that I am. But you get back up, and you get back up, and you get back up. And then you get to a point. Man, you guys right now, you stand up. Nobody's going to applaud you. Man, if Taylor stood up right now, Taylor stands, people go, oh, atta baby, man. I'm telling you, man, we're going to call the Cardinals. He's ready to go. Stand up. But here's the deal. So he's standing, but here's the deal. The expectation on his life right now as a 28-year-old man is this. This right here. The expectation is no matter what happens, man, if something takes him off his feet, you know what he does? He gets back up. He gets knocked down, he gets back up. He gets knocked down. Why? It's maturity. Man, it's steadfastness. See, that's where it to be. But in order for him to stand, it requires diligence. And you know what he's got to do for him to make his call and election sure? That's what he has to do right there. Probably in the location where he's standing right now. He can't miss a word. Man, he's got to see it. And that goes for everyone in this room. Thank you, Taylor. Everyone in this room, you know what your requirement is? Having done all, you stand. And you stand in the liberty with Christ has made set you free. You know what that is? You taking a stand in your life is maturity. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What you value will surface. Your values are proven in a moment. You hear me? Most of the stuff where my values are revealed, I didn't plan for that to happen. It didn't happen on my terms, my timing. It's awkward timing. That wasn't in the plan. But you know what? Our values surface. Our values are revealed in those moments. Our values are revealed, listen, now. Now. Your values. See, the enemy, man, he's not waving a flag saying, hey, here I come. You know what he's doing? He's laying in the weeds. You know how long he'll lay in the weeds to trap you? As long as it takes. So you know what you got to do? You got to be diligent. You got to stay on the path of righteousness. You get off the path, guess what? There's traps out there. There's snares out there. And the bottom line is God honors values that honor his word, that honor his promise. You know, it's kind of like this, and this is going to be reasonably awkward. It's kind of like streaming church video. I love it. A lot of people are watching right now, all over the world. There's people watching in the Middle East. There's people watching in Great Britain, and I love that. You know why? They can't be here. But you know what? There's also people watching from Broken Arrow or Tulsa. And it's like, that's cool. Unless it's because they don't put any value on being in his house. If their value is that they can keep their footy jammies on with some hot cocoa on the couch while they're watching Oprah reruns, and they got that phone and they got a message, that's not much value. But I love it. And I know everybody in here that's 25 or 30 is cringing, saying, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. I'm not talking about streaming video. I'm not talking about where you're watching. I'm talking about what you value. You hear me? There's people out of town right now watching that they're valuing it. But see, it's all about the adjustments of our values. And we have to be those people that we don't neglect the assembling of ourselves together. And I'll tell you why. I'll tell you, most of the argument of people that say going to church isn't that big a deal are selfish. Most of them are. And so we look at it, why am I here today? I'll tell you, I'm here for me. I am. At a third level. But I'm here for me. I'm here for you more than I'm here for me. And you know what? I've got to recognize that. I've got to confess that. I got to make sure of that. But you know what? I'm here for him. I'm here for God. I am. Man, why do I sing? Because I love the song? Because I love the... No, you know what? It's because I love him. I'll tell you, I think a week from tonight, the new second mile classes start, and I think Eric's going to teach something that's going to be amazing and revelation and just going to be powerful. But I'll just tell you this. Roger Wash submission and authority class, if I could make it mandatory, I would. It's 6 or 8 weeks of, and he's witty and he's charming. You know Roger, and he's cuddly, and you know, he'll be giving out hugs after church, and your ribs will heal. And but that, let me just tell you, submission and authority, the byline is honor. That's what it is. And it's something where, who's going to teach you honor? It's not just something you have. It's something that's taught. And it's something that it's line upon line, and it's laid out for you, and it ends up being honor. I want to live a life of honor because I want to be honorable, because that honors God. And in looking at this, what we have to do is we have to assess, we have to evaluate, we have to look at are you in faith? Are you in trust? It's got to be growing. Man, you know what? You once had a spirit of fear on you. Now it's like just the occasion of fear that might interrupt your life a little bit. Man, occasional fear. Let me tell you, we can help that. Man, I'll tell you, the big overall objective of Sundays is just to fill the room with people. And you'll say, okay, that's great. We got people here. What's the objective of being here? I'll tell you what it is, to get you to come back. Man, because the word's going to be out, and we're going to honor God in here. And you know what? Man, we're going to attack the things of unrighteousness and the things that are going to try to help you fail through life. Man, the days of you failing have to end. Man, you're a Christian. You're a believer in Jesus. You're better than them. I'm just telling you. You have to look at it, just like that guy that bugged me. What, do you think you're better? It's like, man, I better think I'm better. Jesus is in me. Oh my gosh, there's a passion about this now. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. The same works that he did, greater works you'll do because he goes to the Father. He's making intercession for you right now. See, that's the place. And at some point, we all need to put ourselves third in who we're here for. That's all the church thing's about for me. All churches is ecclesia. It's just a gathering. Just gather people. Just get them in here. Why? Because there's going to be hurting people in here. Don't raise your hands, but don't raise your hands. Is there anybody in here you struggle with an addiction? Don't raise your hands. And not just an addiction where it's like, I've been drinking too much. I think I need to dry out a little bit. Or yeah, you know, I just like to just smoke a little dope now and then, or maybe I'll just, you know, yeah, it's not really porn. It's just kind of some, you know, it's just, I'm attracted to it a little bit, you know? It's my little vice. It's just, but no, do you truly have an addiction, something in your life where it's like, I need help shaking this? That's why you're here. That's why we're here. That's why I'm here. Jesus didn't come for the healthy. See, that's what's amazing about this. And people go, well, you know, I'm not sure I'm getting my itch scratched there. Once your itch is scratched, you're off the agenda. I'm not on the agenda. This church isn't trying to reach me. I don't want to fill this church with middle-aged preachers. I want to fill this church with who I used to be. People that just came in. I want to fill this church with guys that say, man, my girlfriend dumped me because she wants to be holy. How can I be holy? Because you know what he's thinking? I don't have a chance. Well, you know what? I want him in here. You know why? Then he's got a chance. And you're here and you're struggling in your marriage. You're in a great place. And I see what God does with marriages. And yeah, you know what? People factor in decisions that you make. But you know what? I just know that you can be better. You can be stronger. There is more for you. And that's what it is. Let's just adjust our values and just make some little adjustments, just tweak it. Next Sunday, we start a Daniel fast for 3 weeks. And you know what? What a fast does is you fast your flesh, but listen, you feast spiritually. And you're believing God for things. So many remarkable, remarkable testimonies of people just during these times of fast. And I'm telling you, I'm going to go overboard with it for me personally. And that's what I'm thinking. I'm already planning it. I mean, I'm going to crucify my flesh in this fast. You know why? God's doing something in my life right now. He is. I'm adjusting my values because I want to do so much more for God. I want the days to come to be so much better than the days that are behind us. Anybody with me on that? Man, let's be the church God's called us to be. Let's go to the highways and the hedges and compel them in. Man, you just think about what that healing service is going to be at the end of January. Oh my gosh, it's going to be overwhelming. But you know what? Man, I want the staff to be freaking out because we've got to add 2 or 3 services because of the amount of people. Man, I want motorhomes. When I drive by, I know I'm on your time now. So if you got to go, I guess you're not Velcroed to the chair, are you? You can go. But, you know, I drive by the hospitals and places. I drive by cancer places, and there's lots full of motorhomes. I thought, that's what church ought to be like. They need hope. Because you know what most of us have in here? I think probably all of us, but I'll say most of us have these. All you have to do is have to have a heart after God and a hand. Because you get that hand. You got a heart after God and a hand on the sick, they recover. It doesn't say the ones that are healable are approachable. No, lepers. And it might just be me, but there's such an incredible spirit of God here right now. Just adjust your values. Man, go back and read, what was it, 2 Peter 1, verse 5 through, I think, 12, and maybe read before and after it. Man, read the story of Mary washing Jesus' feet, and just think about Judas. Man, he probably had a point, but he's a thief. His values were wrong.
Thanks for listening to the Guts Church Podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.